Corporation, and happy anniversary to them. Luke chapter 7, verse 11, as a text, we'll read through verse 19. Amen. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers." 10. 10 men that were lepers. Every single one of these had the same condition. 10 lepers, which stood afar off. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.'" Now, you may not know, some of you may know, but the process in the Old Testament for cleansing is once you've been healed or once you no longer have leprosy, the process is to go and show yourself to the priests, and they will validate. And then you'll separate again for 7 days, and then once that 7 days is up, if the priest had validated before that, then you're welcome to come back into society. But if not, then you can't come back, and they'll reinspect, and then they'll do another 7 day until the person, the leper, is cleansed completely. But in this passage, before they were actually cleansed, Jesus told them, "Go show yourself to the priests. Go let them see. Go let them take a look." And I'm sure those lepers are looking at themselves like, "You want me to go right now? Jesus, do the miracle, then I'll go." But Jesus didn't want it to work that way. He said, "Go show yourself unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, he cleansed them. On the way, in obedience to the command of Jesus, that is when they were cleansed. Verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned around, he turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? And there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Thy faith hath made thee whole. I want to, just for a little bit this morning, I want to talk on this subject, more than a miracle. More than a miracle. I'm thankful for every miracle that God has done in my life. He's done some miracles for me. I remember the night that I was sick, and immediately the Lord healed me by the laying on of hands. And I could testify to that. I was sick for 2 days. It was a day and a half. I had missed work, and I was coming, and and I came to church that night. I was planning on not coming to church, and many of you have heard the story. I've given this testimony before. So I know what it's like to receive a miracle. Many of you can also join me in testifying about the miracles God has done for you. That book back there is full of miracles that God has done for folks in this building right now. Hallelujah. But there is something that God wants to do for us that is greater than just a miracle. Hallelujah. And I would say that he gave it to this stranger, this Samaritan, this leper. Amen. He made him whole. So I want to talk to you about more than a miracle. Why don't you lay down your Bibles, and before we are seated, let's ask the Lord to open our hearts, open our minds to receive from him this morning. We need the help of the Holy Ghost today. Let's pray together right now. Jesus, Jesus, I am thankful, God, for your goodness. I'm thankful, Lord, for this opportunity to study your word. Pray that you would anoint our minds, anoint our spirits. God, bind us together in one mind and one accord. Eliminate every distraction, every hindering thing, God. Let your spirit have free course. Let your word have free course this morning in our hearts and in our minds. Transform us by the renewing of our mind according to your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord one more time, and then you can be seated. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to, there's a, I, I, as we were singing, I meant to say this before I even read the text, but I'm just going to mention this. I've been studying a little bit about the New Testament apostolic church and trying to understand how far we have come from what it is, what it means to be genuinely apostolic. You know, we call ourselves Christians, and Christians means to be Christ-like. None of this is in my notes. I'm just kind of just talking something that I felt like sharing as we were singing this morning. Amen. To be a Christian means to be Christ-like, to be like Christ. And so to be apostolic is almost implied in the name as well. It means to be apostle-like or like the apostles. It means to teach and to believe the doctrines that the apostles taught and believed. These are the apostles, the men that God, that Jesus entrusted when he was here on earth. The men that he anointed to carry forth the truth and to implement what he had given to them. And so as an apostolic Christian, I believe that it's incumbent upon us, if we're going to claim that label, to behave as apostolics or as the apostles. If we want to claim the label Christian, then we need to act like Christ. I think it's just as true to be like the apostles. And so what? How do we learn? How do we understand? Paul wrote in his epistles to one of the churches, and he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so this is an apostolic idea. This is an apostolic concept to follow the apostles. They are an example to us on how we ought to implement what Jesus gave to us. And so, again, so I was looking at some of the differences between the way the modern church worships and the way that the apostolic church worships. And I don't have all this in front of me because I'm just commenting on it here. But one of the things that stood out to me was the simplicity of worship. They didn't have bands. They didn't have singers. They didn't have all these coordinated musical efforts. Paul wrote in also another epistle, he said that you should worship in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so that indicates to me that they did have some type of music, but it wasn't the dominating thing. And we come to church and we have an incident with something on the projector. We have some incident with somebody hit a sour note or a wrong key, and that just throws our whole church mode off. We're like, man, they're human. And I just want to remind you that really, when it comes to just worshiping God, if you're going to claim to be apostolic, it is just between you and God. It is a personal expression of worship and thanksgiving unto God. And really, that's kind of what we read about in our text. So there we go. Nice segue right back into the lesson. Amen. But this leper, this Samaritan, who is not one of the chosen people, he's a Samaritan. He is a, what Jesus called him, a stranger. Not one of the chosen people of Israel, but he's a stranger. This one took enough time to go back and say, God, I'm thankful for what you've done for me. He took it a step beyond just receiving the miracle like the other lepers. 9 other lepers were there, amen, that same day. And they were also on their way to show themselves to the priest. And they also received a miracle. But only one came back with an expression of worship between him and Jesus. Jesus started wondering, hey, where are the other guys? Didn't I do a miracle for them too? And we see in this passage of Scripture that because of his thanksgiving, because of his worship, because of his personal expression, Jesus said, he glorified God. In the Scripture, verse 15, it says, with a loud voice, he glorified God. This guy wasn't intimidated by his 9 friends that also were lepers. He said, whoa, hey, I'm healed. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done for me. And he went out of his way This is not even my primary point, but I just want to, I want you to observe some of the same things that I have as I'm reading this passage of Scripture, that it was his thanksgiving, it was his genuine mode of worship that brought to him what was more than just a miracle. It brought him to a place beyond, amen, a miracle. Amen. How many people in this earth, amen, are searching for what we can experience almost on any typical service. I thank God for the power that he's been demonstrating in these services. And I believe that even in this service, if you've got a need, God's able. If you're at home sick, God's able. We know it. We know it. We believe it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But it's the ones who keep coming back and say, hey, today I'm not necessarily looking for a miracle. I'm just coming to say thank you. I'm not coming necessarily. Yeah, there may be another time in my life where I'll need another miracle. But right now, Jesus, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Who am I? Why am I? Why did you even look my way? What did I do? Hey, friend, it's nothing that you've done, amen, that brought you to Jesus' feet, that got God's attention. It was just his abundant mercy and grace. Hallelujah. If you want more than a miracle, if you're satisfied with your miracle, fine, great. Go your merry way. But if you want more than a miracle, amen, it is genuinely available. Now, what do I mean by this? I hope that I can clarify before we leave here in just a few moments. It's 10:52. Amen. But these 10 lepers were not breaking the law. Jesus did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. And so as he commanded these lepers to go to the priest, he was not breaking the law. He knew what he had planned on doing on the way to the priest. Amen. But only one of those, as they were on their way, was willing to go back out of his way and say, thank you. Thank you for what you have done. Amen. Sometimes we come to church and it's a part of our routine. It's a part of our obligation. Amen. And we come even to pre-service prayer, or we've read our Bible in the week, and we have our daily devotion. It's just a part of our routine, and God blesses us and he pours himself out upon us. Amen. But this thing that I'm talking about today, amen, only comes to those who are willing to be more intentional, not just in the encapsulated routine. Amen. But if you want more than just the blessing, if you want more than just a miracle, I'm here to tell you, amen, you've got to turn around. You've got to go back, amen, to the source of the miracle. Hallelujah. What a miracle. Amen. Lepers being cleansed on the way. I'm here to tell you, God can do it on the way. Hallelujah. On your way to work. Amen. On your way home from work. On your lunch break. Amen. As you're going on about your day, throughout your routine, on your way, he can do a miracle. Hallelujah. Amen. But more than a miracle is waiting for you. Amen. When you take a step aside and say, hey, boss, amen, I'm going to take a break for a few minutes. I've got to talk to my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know this is not a part of our routine. I may have to put a block on the calendar for this hour. Amen. But I'm going to get a hold of God. Amen. Because there's something in my spirit. Amen. That's driving me for something more. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know about you. Amen. But I'm not satisfied with just mere blessings. Hallelujah. I've said this in the past, but I'll say it again. The Israelites became satisfied, became content with miracle bread. This is not in my notes, but it's just a fact. It's a good pattern. It's a good example. Amen to us. Hallelujah. Amen. There was one, as I mentioned, that returned. Amen. That wasn't satisfied with just accepting, amen, his healing and going home again on his way. But the Bible says in Luke 17:16 that he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Hallelujah. Going on, verse 17 says, Jesus answered, said, where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. What did he call this mode of worship from this one leper? What did he call it? Yes, it was thanksgiving. Yes, it was worship. Yes, it was glory to God. But Jesus said that it was not just glory, worship, and thanksgiving. He said it was his faith that made him whole. This was an expression of his faith. I was on my way to show myself to the priest, and a miracle happened. And I know where that miracle came from. I believe it was Jesus, the man that sent me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was this. I know this is simple. I'm going to illustrate and use this point a little bit later. So this is why I'm emphasizing. This was this young man's faith that made him whole. It was faith that caused him to respond in obedience and go on his way to the priest. But it was also faith that caused him to go back. Nobody commanded him to do this step. Nobody commanded him to go back and fall on his face and worship Jesus. But his faith said, I'm not going to let this go. I can't just go on my way. Amen. There's something more in my faith. Amen. The Bible goes through multiple, examples of describing people with great faith. I believe this leper had great faith. Jesus said, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made you whole. Amen. Matthew 9, 28 and 29, we read about a story about two blind men came to Jesus. Jesus said to them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said to him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Whatever God has in store for you is according to your faith. Hallelujah. This is going to take a minute for me to lay out, so I'm just going to take my time here. But whatever God wants, whatever God does for you, God can have the greatest desire to save and to heal and to deliver and do whatever for you. But if you do not have the faith, if you do not have sufficient faith, Jesus said to his disciples, you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain, remove ye and be tossed into the sea, and then he said another passage to the and moved the mountain, and so you know these stories. I'm not trying to get too bogged down here, but understand that Jesus is concerned about how much faith we have, whether or not it's just enough for our miracle, whether it's just enough for us, or is there something beyond this basic level of faith? That one passage of scripture tells us that faith is given, a measure of faith is given to every man. Hallelujah. Amen. Just bear with me just for a few moments. Again, and in scripture, we read of moments where God healed folks because of their faith. In Matthew 14, 14, Matthew 15, 30 is two incidents where you read about multitudes, literally multitudes being healed. There is tremendous amount of faith going on there. And even that, in Jesus' unconventional ways, going through the streets of Jerusalem and Galilee and every city that he was a part of, amen, that he ministered in, amen, it was contrary to what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the historic or the traditionalists would say. Jesus would touch the eyes of the blind. He would reach out and touch the unclean ones and in unconventional ways. The only reason that Jesus had the power to do that, Bishop has taught on this, but I'll just make this point and move on, is because he was the clean one and he was able to cleanse them by his touch. If we were to touch them, they would make us clean. But because it was Jesus, when he touched them, I mean, his cleanliness spread. Hallelujah. But it was according to the faith of those who were hungry for God's touch, desired something from the Lord. And we could see multitudes during Jesus' ministry with sufficient faith to receive a miracle. Multitudes that would follow Jesus. Multitudes that desired something from him. I said, I know where I need to go for my miracle.
I know that what I need, I mean, that whatever it is that I need comes from him. He's got my answer. Hallelujah. And so we see how faith is an operator. It's the driver. It's a catalyst. It's the thing that triggers the response from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Faith is, of course, a good thing. Faith will get you that miracle that you're looking for, a healing, financial blessing, any other kind of blessing that you're searching for. Faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe. If you're coming to God, you've got to believe. You've got to have faith. If you're approaching the throne, you've got to have faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so that will get us to that same place that many of these in the multitudes that followed Jesus received from him. But I'm here to ask anybody, amen, that may be interested. I believe that there may be some, amen, perhaps more than just a few. Maybe all of us have a desire for something greater than a miracle. A miracle's great. A blessing is great. Hallelujah. But listen to what we read in Luke chapter 17, verse 19. He said unto him, arise, go your way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. What was going on in this instance here? We're going to take a look at the word whole in just a moment, but I want you to honestly think about this situation. 10 lepers, all of them were healed. This young man was already healed. Yet he came back to Jesus and received something beyond his miracle. He was made, what Jesus said was, whole. We see two other examples of this in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. You can read the story of blind Bartimaeus. Blind man said unto him, I'll just jump down to verse 52. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Woman, with the issue of blood in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. Jesus responded to it in verse 22. It says, Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. What is this wholeness? Jesus walked up to the man at the pool of Bethesda and said, wilt thou be made whole? A question. A question that begs an answer. Will you be made whole? I'd like to posit that same question to you today. It's really up to you. Will you be made whole? Or will you be satisfied with your blessing, with your miracle? You know that God's able. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel it from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. You know what God can do. You've witnessed with your own eyes the works of God. Hallelujah. And yet your faith stutters when it comes to your situation, when it comes to your life and your hope and your purpose. Will you be made whole? Hallelujah. Amen. In a moment, just like he performed the miracle. And in fact, let me just tell you, this is the reason why Jesus performs miracles. So that you can know that he's able. It's so that you can have sufficient faith, because it requires more faith to be made whole. Hallelujah. It requires more than just that basic element. I mean, if you want to move mountains, that's a miracle. If you want to move, if you want to move a sycamore tree, that's a miracle. If you want to just do this, and receive a blessing, that's a miracle. And great are his works. Hallelujah. Amen. But if you are to be made whole, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's talk to the Lord right now. Come on, sincerely. I want you to examine your heart. I want you to examine your mind. Hallelujah. God, am I satisfied with my current state in my relationship with you? Am I satisfied with the blessings and miracles that you've done in my life? Thank you, God, for what you've done. Amen. But I want something more. Hallelujah. Amen. I've looked at other churches. I've seen charismatic churches that have experienced miracles. I've read articles and papers about the Catholic Church having looked at and having documented miracles. I personally cannot verify, but they go to great lengths to try to authenticate and this documentation try to validate that, ooh, this is the real thing. This is where they get some of their quote-unquote authority from. This is the type of documentation that they try to use I'm getting too sidetracked here, but they don't depend solely on the scripture. And so I don't want to get too sidetracked into all of that, but so there are documents, there are recordings of miracles in other churches. So if what we were looking for, Brother Seeley, was just a miracle, then we could go almost anywhere. This is how so many can be so confused and lost because they go into an atmosphere where God is performing real, legitimate miracles. And then they think, wow, wasn't that real? So they grow satisfied with that. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus did not come to earth for the purpose of solely performing miracles. All of the blinded eyes that he opened was not his purpose. All of the lame men and women that he raised up was not his purpose for coming to earth. All of those things were a side benefit, were the side attraction, if you will, were what followed him. But what was his purpose? Looking at this word, whole, word that is translated as whole means any of the following, but especially this first one, to save. To keep safe and sound. To rescue from danger and destruction. Whole. Ooh. Hallelujah. To preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save or to rescue. And then I believe it was Vines. I didn't make note here, but I think it was Vines. He said to save in the technical biblical sense, literally to save from our sins. That leper that thought he was just going to get a healing that day, he came back to Jesus and said, thank you. And what did he do? He started a relationship. You're not just an abstract being distant in the heavens with the power to heal and to deliver. No. You healed me. Thank you. And began to worship and glorify God. And Jesus said, that's why. This is what I came for. Where are the other nine? Why didn't they come back? They missed it. They missed what I was trying to show them. Where are the nine that I also healed? Amen. Nevertheless, for you, thy faith hath made thee whole. I have a question today. Will you be made whole? Or are you satisfied? I feel the Holy Ghost strong right now. Hallelujah. Will you be made whole? Or are you okay with the blessing? Are you okay with what you've received? Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to downplay anything. I know oftentimes, especially in apostolic circles, we use the term blessing almost in a derogative sense. Where we say, ooh, you know, the old saying in the South is, bless him, Jesus. You know, when you're feeling sorry for somebody. Or bless her pea-picking heart. So we twist that, but I'm not in any way trying to distort the blessings and miracles of God. They are real. They are legitimate. I believe in them. But miracles versus absolute wholeness, I'm talking about complete restoration in the mind, in the body, and in the soul. I'm talking about complete restoration to relationship with God Almighty. Amen. You know, the kind of relationship that he intended back in the Garden of Eden. The whole reason that he created you in the first place was so that he can have and he can commune with you. That is wholeness. That is completeness. That is perfection. Amen. The New Testament, the epistles, Apostle Paul told us, amen, that you should come in the unity of the faith until you come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ unto a perfect. How can I be perfect? It's when you're made whole. It requires a work of God. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it by works or by words. You can't do it, amen, in your own capacity, amen. But if you're willing, like this leper, and say, God, before you came, I was nothing but a leper. I needed a miracle. I had nothing going, amen. But when you came, amen, my entire world, my entire situation became new and different. Just like the apostle said, amen, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I wonder if anybody believes that, like you believe in God's ability to perform a miracle. Hopefully Hilton, well, I've had that experience. I've had what you're talking about. Amen. I keep going back to my nicotine. I've had that experience. And I've had what you're talking about. And I can't put the alcohol down. I've gone through that. Amen. I can't put my illicit relationships away. Amen. But let me tell you somebody. Amen. When Jesus steps in, he can make you completely whole. A new creature. All things are passed away. Oh, I feel like preaching right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to what the prophet said of Jesus in Matthew 1 and 21. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. Not just miracles, Sister Sharon. Not just miracles. Amen. But salvation. Oh, are you thankful this morning? Come on, that's it. Let's just love him for a few moments. Oh, I worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to make you whole. He wants to take you beyond those miracles. Amen. How many men, how many charlatans have built a ministry off of the acclaimed miracles? How many? Answer me. How many of these men have created, amen, million-dollar bank accounts, amen, in the name of Jesus, amen, talking about how they have performed miracles. All the while missing what the name of Jesus was given for in the first place. I mean, they don't even have a revelation of what Jesus is. They don't know that he's the mighty God in Christ. They don't know, amen, that he's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom. In one man, in one being that walked among us with the distinct purpose of salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not satisfied with just a miracle. It's too easy. Too easy. When we start seeking after miracles, it's too easy to become distracted. It's too easy to be satisfied even. Oh, wow. Look what we got going. Look at this. Look at this move. What good are the miracles if they are still lost, Brother Nelson? What, Brother Self, pray tell me, what good are the signs and wonders if they do not believe? If they don't make it to heaven? Hallelujah. I believe in miracles. I want them every single day of my life. Hallelujah. But more than anything, I want to be made whole. I want to stand holy before the King of Kings. I want to be righteous. Amen. I have fought the devil in preparation for this service. Amen. This morning. And I'm not trying to hyper-spiritualize anything. I'm just telling you what happened. Amen. I've been just on the, I'm not going to get into any details, but just driving down the road. Amen. Just this low feeling of, who do you think you are? What do you think you're gonna do? I don't think I'm gonna do anything. But what I'm preaching this morning has real power. Life-saving power. I'm not trying to build a name for Jared Hilton. I have zero interest in that. I mean, I've been down that road, and I got the T-shirt, and I don't like the color, so I put it in the laundry and threw it through the bleach. I don't like it. I don't want anything to do with it. The name Jared can't do anything. I don't care how long you've been living for God. It doesn't matter who you are. You can't do anything without Jesus. This is super simple. But if you want to see your lost coworkers saved, if you want to see your lost family members saved, if you want to see them made whole, let me ask you this. Even in this church, what if we have all the miracles that God can offer? And yet we have folks sitting on our pews coming from the city of Olathe or Lenexa or Gardner or wherever, and they don't receive the Holy Ghost, or they are not baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody help me understand how that makes sense. Well, let me see what time it is. 11:20. I don't want just miracles. I want more than a miracle. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently. Tori, if you could come. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith alone cannot save us. James 2:14 says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, Can faith save him? What if he could perform miracles? What if he can deliver and do all these wonderful things? Man, that's a man of faith. He could do this, that, and the other. Now, the Apostle James said, can faith save him? This is a rhetorical question. The answer is no. And in fact, if you didn't get the answer in verse 14, rhetorically, you can read it in verse 17, which says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith alone cannot save us. You think the devil's saved? That answer would be no. Verse 19 tells us, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But they're not saved. So faith alone cannot save us. We must obey. What do you believe? In what do you place your faith? Many express their faith in Jesus through John 3:16, being what they refer to as a confession of faith. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe that scripture. It's true. Jesus spoke it. Listen to what Jesus also said in John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Sounds to me like there's something more than just this confession. If you believe on Jesus, which he said in John 3:16, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 38 of John 7 says, as the scripture hath said, if you believe on him as the scripture hath said, then there will be rivers of living water flowing out of your belly. What does he mean by that? Verse 39 goes on to describe in a parenthetical statement, but this spake he of the Spirit. Describing the experience he just explained. This spake he, the belly flowing with rivers of living water is speaking of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. I'm telling you that if you have faith in Jesus, the faith that he is searching for, and the Bible does say in the last days, when he comes back, he's going to be looking for faith. Will he find any? Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus, the type of faith that he is looking for is exactly the type of faith that he described earlier in John chapter 3. John 3:16 is the middle of the chapter. John 3:3, same chapter, but somehow gets overlooked, says, Jesus answered Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you've not yet been born of the Spirit, then right now you're only a child of the flesh. You're only the offspring of your natural parents. If you want to be a child of God, child of the eternal Spirit, you must be born of the Spirit. Verse 7 goes on to say, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. In other words, doesn't it make sense, Nicodemus? If I'm saying that you're going to be a child of your mother by being born of the flesh, then you should be the child of your heavenly Father by being born of the Spirit. Marvel not. This is not a mystery. Ye must be born again. You want that new creature? You must be born again. You want to cast away old things? You must be born again. Of water and of the Spirit. Verse 8, he goes on to describe those who are born of the Spirit. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You want to know how you know that you're born of the Spirit? There will be a sound. And there's some churches that teach you how to make this sound. Say, whoa, look at there, you're speaking in the Spirit, whatever. But Jesus said, you can't tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. It is not you. It's the Spirit of God. It is not some sort of talent or gift. To speak in tongues is not a gift. The Holy Ghost is a gift. Speaking in tongues is evidence that you've received that gift. Believing is not wrong. Faith is not wrong. Believing God for miracles is not wrong. I would say that's right. In fact, I believe that's the first step for people to start realizing, whoa, there's a God. God's able. He can help me. That's exactly the way those miracles worked in the Bible. It caught the attention of the multitudes. They would follow him because he was the one doing the works. But it's not wrong. Believing is not wrong. Faith is not wrong. But it is the first step. If you believe in the Son of God, you will not perish. John 3:16. How? Jesus is identifying the beginning and the end of this process. But there's some steps in between. That Jesus expects that if you do believe on me, as the scripture has said, one of those steps is that there are rivers of living water flowing. He also mentioned being born of water and born of the Spirit. Hallelujah, if we could all stand together. There are several instances throughout the New Testament where folks already established their faith, their belief in God. They knew he was the miracle worker. You can read about in Acts chapter 8 when Philip went down to Samaria, preached Christ to them. The people with one accord, verse 6 says of Acts chapter 8, gave heed unto those things that Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Got their attention. They knew that he was, like, there was something different about this guy. Verse 7 says, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed, and there was great joy. Wow, we're having church. Great revival. Did you hear about the conference down in Samaria? That mighty preacher, Philip, man, did the Lord use him? You hear about the miracles and the deliverance, spirits of folks being set free. Verse 8 and 12 goes on to say, when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized. Both men and women. When they believed Philip, they obeyed.